Was it really, really nice that Manuel Noriega is no longer with us? You talking about the sometimes I feel I want to run away, that guy? Are you serious? You like him? So glad. You felt the whole nation go, yes, when he was out of here. Or was it just me? Hey, is Beckwith in here? Where's Scott? Do you know I used to live in his pool house? True story, didn't I? Yeah? Me and my dog. My real dog. Like me and my dog. But, you know, I got a truck. I just bought a new truck 2 weeks ago. I had an old, well, it was new. He was the first one that rode in it the first day I got it. It was an old Dodge Ram truck. And we went to Wild About Harry's, and I got my key lime pie custard because that's my favorite. But I was driving here, and I was remembering these stories. I used to have that Dodge, and that Dodge was like, I put 170,000 miles on that truck, and I just bought a new one. And I was thinking about all the fun that I've had in that truck because I go everywhere. And my best friend lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's from Houston. I'm from Houston, Texas. I had to wear the Rockets because we just beat you guys. What do y'all like, the Mavericks? Excuse me, I'm choking on an eighth seed. But sorry, just had to throw that out. But the Tennessee Titans, y'all know who the Tennessee Titans are. Those are the old Houston Oilers. And when they left, I didn't go with them. You know, I was like, okay, y'all go to Tennessee. We'll get a team someday. We're still waiting for that team. We have the Houston Texans, but I'm not real excited about it. But every time the Texans play the Titans, I always go up to Nashville for the football game. I wear all my Texan stuff, and we get beat, and then everybody throws peanuts at me. I'm not kidding you. They throw peanuts at me because I'm you know, cocky and loud at the beginning of the game, and then you have to walk up the stairs at the end. But it was a couple years ago. We're at this game, and it ends at about 6, and, I mean, they have an outdoor stadium, and there's all these horrible storms coming in. I mean, it's supposed to hail, tornado warnings and everything. So we get home to basically his apartment complex. He has his parking garage. So we park in the parking garage. You know, my truck's not registered at his apartments. And John and then Donnie, we all put our cars in the parking garage. And we're not supposed to park in there. But there were parking spots everywhere. So we parked way off to the side. And, like, if you would think that the curtain's right there, or this concrete wall, it's a parking garage, we park up against it. I'm not kidding you. There's 10 parking spaces to the right, 10 parking spaces to the left. As we park there, we go up, shower, get ready because we're going to go out to eat and hang out in Nashville. We go there. We do our thing. We come down to get in the cars. And this guy, Donnie, had parked somewhere else. Well, John and my truck were right there. Remember, the wall's right in front. Can't go anywhere. This guy's Land Cruiser, he parked behind us, like double parked behind us. So we couldn't get out because we were in his spot. But there were like hundreds to the left and the right. We were just in his spot. So he parked right behind us, and then he put on both of our windows underneath our, what do you call those things? Windshield wipers. His phone number, and said, call me. And I was like, we're not calling him. And so we got in Donnie's car, and we went out and have a good time. We were out to about 12:31. We come in. We kind of forgot about it, and we drove in. We're like, oh, gosh. You know, here it's still there. It's 1 in the morning. It's still there. So we're thinking, how can we do this? So I said, maybe we can go to Walmart and we could buy a couple jacks that, you know, they have the wheels on it. We could jack his Land Rover up and then we can push it to a different part in the parking lot. And we're like, well, let's just see if we can get it out first. So John had a GMC Jimmy, which is smaller than my truck. So we, you know, concrete wall, Land Cruiser. So we're standing there and we're like, okay, go. And I mean, he went like 3 inches, stop. And he turned his wheel all the way and he back up, and we're like, stop. And then he turned his wheel, so he's just basically, and he gets out. And we're like, yeah, we're almost there. But there's no way my truck's going to get out. But my truck actually was a lot easier than John's because it was like, and we were out. So then we parked in two different spots, and basically it comes to this point of the night. It's about 1:30, and there's one of three things we could have done. We could have gone to bed, could have saran wrapped his car, or we could have called him because he left us his number. I'm telling you what not to do, by the way. This is don't do this story kind of a deal. So I looked at John. I go, let's call him. So, of course, John, I didn't, you know, because I'm smart, I was like, I'm not calling him on my cell phone number because I don't want him to have my number. I was like, John, call him. It'll be awesome. So John calls him, and he's like, the guy's mad. You can hear him on the other line. And I go, just be polite. Be nice. Tell him it was hailing. Tell him just, you know. So he's like, yes, sir. I'm sorry. You know, I'm really sorry. Can you come down and move your vehicle? You know, like so. So they said that, and the guy hung up. So we hid in the bushes to watch what was going to happen because parking garage, and there's bushes, so we're kind of hiding there. And, you know, when you're giggling and you're not supposed to. And so you're giggling and stuff. He comes down. He's literally in his bathrobe. He comes out. He walks around the corner. And when he sees that it's just this Land Rover parked out in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing, he was like. So he runs up there and he's checking his, seeing if there's any dents and checking his deal. And then he gets in and we think the fun's over. And then he starts it. We think he's going to park. He comes looking for us. So we're in the bushes. And he pulls out and we're like, and right when the lights, you know, the lights pan, I was like, don't look at the lights. And I remember yelling that, and afterwards, it was stupid. It's not like we have animal eyes. But I really did. I was like, he's gonna see the glow of the eyes. These six eyes in the woods. So anyway, he pans and then he drives around and we start panicking. It's like, because the stairs are way over there, so we're like timing it. We're like, okay, go. And we're running. And we run up the stairs, go up the flight of stairs, and we run in the apartment. Well, my truck, I had parked way in the parking lot underneath a light, and my truck was burnt orange, so it wasn't hard to miss. So he drives. I remember we're looking through the deals because you don't want to look too big, but he's going, and he stops, and then he backs up. I'm like, oh, he sees my truck. So he drives up there. I really thought, I expected him to pull a bat out and just start waylaying the truck. He didn't. I mean, he writes down a license plate. And then he drives off, and then that was the end of the fun. I mean, there's really no point to this story. But I was putting my stuff in the truck that morning. I remember looking over my shoulder because it was like 7. I thought this guy was going to come in and beat me up. That was just a story I remember. It has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. So, but anyway, it's a great story, though, man. It's like one of my favorite times of my life because I beat the man. He thought he was smart. So it would have been fun to jack it up and move it to a different part of the parking lot, though. But hey, I want to talk to you about, I know y'all's theme is take it, and I want to talk a little bit about what I want to talk about our non-Christian friends tonight. Does anybody out here have any non-Christian friends? Does anybody out here have any non-Christian parents? My dad's not a Christian. So this talk, every time I give this talk, it's always a reminder to me too. But I think it's very healthy for us to have non-Christian friends. I don't believe you should have all non-Christian friends, but I think it's very helpful to have non-Christian friends because obviously, we have to be a witness to the world. I want to talk about a story real quick. It's about the paralytic. Anybody know what a paralytic is? Anybody? What? It's somebody that's been paralyzed. Everybody know what paralyzed is? They can't move. Okay? Now, I want to talk to you a story, and then I'm going to challenge you at the very end. This is in the Bible. Okay, this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because when I read stories, I want to challenge you. When y'all read stories like this, look at it from all different angles. Okay, we're going to look at this story. It's in Mark 2. If you have your Bibles, follow along. If not, up here, okay? I'm going to read along, and then I'm going to stop, and we're going to talk about what we're doing. Verse 1, it says, several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the town. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there wasn't even one room for one more person. Let me just set it up, what's going on. Jesus was walking around. Jesus was doing his thing. He was healing people. He was preaching. He was baptizing. And soon he was at that town. If we were back in those days and you heard about this kind of a guy and then he was in your town, you're going to go check it out, right? I mean, if you heard that some guy was healing people, I'm going to go check it out. I may not believe it. I'm going to go check it out. So just picture that. That word came in, and he was teaching in a house. And what does it say about the house? It was packed. Okay? Picture that in your mind. It was packed. Look at it like this. I mean, now think about this also, because, I mean, we're talking about the whole deodorant thing. Back, you know, it's hot over there, packed house. They don't have ceiling fans. They don't have anything. It's probably pretty stinky in this house. Okay, but Jesus is sitting there, and he's teaching. Okay? Now, here comes the great part. Ready? It says, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they just went home. Is that what it says? No. Now, we're going to stop there because these guys were carrying this buddy of theirs who was paralyzed on a mat. Okay? Now, the way I like to look at this is there's four guys, there's one paralyzed fella. Okay? That tells me it's a rather large guy. Okay? Picture a mat. Everybody's carrying their pole. Big stretcher. Big old Bubba that's on the, he's paralyzed. He's a big guy. He can't work out or anything. Eats a lot. A little heavy. So they're carrying him. Carrying him to the house. They get to the house. It's packed. They can't get in. Now, if this was me, I might just go, you know what, guys? We'll come back tomorrow. And don't come back tomorrow. What does it say along in the scriptures? They got to the house. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd. So they dug through the clay roof above his head, and they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Okay, let's stop there. Let's just picture this whole thing. They get to the house. They can't get in. One of the guys has a bright idea. Let's get Bubba up to the roof. And what we're going to do is we'll get him up on the roof. We'll dig a hole. We'll lower him down. Great idea. All right. Now, you think they came with a ladder? I'm picturing them having to run back, grab a ladder. They didn't have hardware stores back then. Maybe they had Shalom Depot or something like that. So they go back. They send one of the guys to get a ladder. They come back. They put the ladder against the house. They carry Bubba up on the roof. Now, if I'm Bubba, I'm asking myself, hey, guys, we're going to do this later. Because, I mean, I'm already paralyzed. I mean, could you imagine if they were getting him up? I mean, it doesn't say. And they could have very well dropped him. Hey, we'll do it again. And they're carrying him up the ladder, and they get him up on top of the roof. Okay? Victory. He's on the roof. Sweet! We got him up on the roof. Now they're kind of looking at each other. Okay, what do we do now? So one of them says, well, hey, maybe we can start digging a hole through the roof. Okay, whose house is this? Because, I mean, they're not just going to start digging a hole. So they send one of the same guys back to Shalom Depot, gets a couple axes, maybe a chainsaw or two. They start cutting a hole in the roof. Now, who's teaching at this time? Jesus is teaching at this time. Now, if this was happening right now, if they were digging a hole in this roof right now, would pieces of this roof be falling? Okay, I can picture all this stuff happening in this area, and everybody kind of spreads out. Jesus is teaching. These guys are digging a hole. Now, I remember this story when I was a kid in Sunday school class. For some reason, I always envisioned in my head in Sunday school that it was a hole about that big. And I just pictured him kind of squeezing this guy through the hole and kind of lowering him down. But that's not what it says, because what did they lower him down on? His mat. So let's just picture that the mat, let's say the guy's 5'5". Okay, let's picture that this mat is 6 foot long. Okay, they have to dig a 6 foot hole. Okay, whoever's house this is, probably not real happy at this time, going, I didn't go to get my like mine, and they're just screaming. And you know, because they're pretty passionate people over there. I'm sure there was a lot of screaming and hollering. And everybody, picture all you guys sitting there. Some of you have seen Jesus do stuff. Dude, Jesus raised people from the dead. These guys, he's going to bring to death. You know, kind of like, oh, he's going to like go zzz. You know, now what was I saying? But Jesus was teaching at this time. I can just picture during this time, everybody getting quiet. That's just what I think. And everybody just watching Jesus going, oh, they're interrupting Jesus. I just hope someday when we get to heaven, there's going to be like a Blockbuster or something we can go rent stories. Because I want to see Jonah in the whale. I want to see stuff like that. Because you know there's going to be deleted scenes in there that they just didn't put in, you know. And then maybe you can hit the God commentary. Well, we decided not to, you know, do this because, you know, we just didn't have enough room in the Bible. And it was room. So, I mean, I really honestly hope that we can do that. And, you know, there won't be late fees because it'll be eternity. But this is one of the ones I want to see because I just want to see what all's going on. So picture this, okay. The picture, they get the hole in the roof. Okay, they're like, sweet, there's Jesus. I see him. We've dug it right in front of him. Because I can see the guy outside going, you know, seeing windows and going, okay, one, two, okay, he's 5 paces to the left. Okay, let's dig. They're up there and they dig the hole. Okay, we got it. There's Jesus. He's looking at us. He's getting his fingers. He's poking his fingers. No, just kidding. So they dig the hole. Okay. What do they need now? They need a rope. Where are they going to go? Shalom Depot. Okay. I got to go back. He's back at the register. Dude, I need some rope. So they get rope. Now picture this. They're putting rope on the end of the mat. Four pieces of rope. If I was Bubba, I'd be going, guys, really? We can come back later. Because this is, I mean, can you picture them? You're going, okay, here we go. You ready? You know, and he's just swinging there, going down. Because if they don't lower at the same time, I mean, it could be doing this number, and he's sliding. It's like, you know that game where you do the marbles? I mean, can you imagine? Oh, lift up. You know, whoa. It's kind of going down. Anyway, they lower Bubba right at the feet of Jesus. Place is quiet. Lowers him right in front of Jesus. Jesus said this, okay? Actually, he didn't say anything. Well, he does. Verse 5, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. If I was Bubba and I'd done all this, whatever happened, and I was down in front of Jesus at his feet, that is the last thing I want to hear Jesus say. What was the whole purpose of him going there? To be healed. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm not being mean or anything, but if I was Bubba and I heard Jesus say that to me, I'm like, well, thanks. I appreciate it. But, you know, but that's not really why I'm here. See, I believe Jesus dealt with the spiritual paralysis in this man's life. And then we're going to find out he'll deal with the physical paralysis. I mean, we all know when we were born in sin. Unless you've asked Christ to be your Savior, you're paralyzed. I mean, I was paralyzed. I thought I wasn't paralyzed, or I thought I was not paralyzed till I was 18. Thought I got unparalyzed at 14. That's another story for another time. I just confused everybody. But so he deals with that. He says what he says. Jesus says that to the guy. Now, there were some Pharisees and Sadducees in the audience, and they get a big ruckus, and they're, hey, you can't do that. And Jesus says, oh, yes, I can. And he goes, oh, no, you cannot. And he goes, you don't have the authority. He goes, oh, yes, I do. And he goes, just to show you, I'm going to heal this man of his paralysis. I'm assuming he spoke with a more mighty voice there. But in verse 10, it says this. It says, I will prove that I am the Son of Man, and I have the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, take your mat, and go home, because you are healed. What's it say in verse 12? I love this version. I just like this version. It says, and the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked through the stunned onlookers. Okay, this guy got up. Actually, he jumped up. And this is what I love. He picks up his mat. Now, back in those days, everybody knew who everybody was. It wasn't like this. I mean, I was in Houston until like 2 today. I remember just driving in. I was like, yeah, I can drive in from Houston and come here and talk in Dallas. I mean, they didn't do that back then. Where they were is where they were. So everybody knew who this Bubba guy was. It wasn't like, oh, this is a plant. We're going to just figure something out. We'll have some guy come in and act like he's paralyzed and make Jesus look real good. I mean, they knew who this guy was. What did it say? It said they were stunned. I mean, this guy, Bubba, gets up, grabs his mat, and walks to the stunned onlookers. Now, stunned means you're just kind of, did that just happen? Kind of deal. And I picture this guy, I picture Bubba walking through the crowd, kind of, pardon me, sorry, got to get my mat through. Excuse me, pardon me, sorry, got to go. And he's going through the crowd because they're all just sitting there. They're all stunned. They've just seen Jesus heal this guy that they probably, back in those days, they usually put the people that were crippled and those type of, the poor people at the gate, people coming in and out and in and out would give them food and give them money. They knew who this guy was. He gets up, he walks the crowd, and then it says at the very end, it says, they all praise God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. Always cracks me up in the Bible when it says they all said that. Because I can picture there's 300 people in here, like y'all right now, saying at the same time, we've never seen anything like this before. And then everybody's like, we just all said the same thing. That's another miracle. Just kidding. So let me ask you a few questions, okay? This guy, we all know, they went to a lot of trouble to do what they did. They get him down there. What did Jesus say? Or what did it say Jesus was thinking when he forgave his sins? What did it say? I mean, why was this guy's sins forgiven? Did Bubba ask for his sins to be forgiven? Why? Did he have faith that his sins would be forgiven? I believe he did, but what was the deal? What did it say in the verse? Who are the people that lowered him down? What does it say right here? It says verse 5, seeing their faith. Who's there? Their friends. Remember, this was going on for a while. I mean, Jesus is teaching. They hear a clatter of a ladder hitting the side of the building. They hear some guys going, oh, hell, I can't get it up. Help me up. You know, do this, that, and the other. They get it up on top. Then he starts ripping the roof open. They lower him down. Jesus saw this happening. That's why I think it got quiet in the room. And Jesus sat there and watched it all happen. And then when he lowered it down, what does it say? Seeing their faith. Those guys. I want to see this someday when we get to heaven. I'm telling you. What kind of celebration it was when these guys met outside the door. Because if you think those guys dug through the roof and then that was it. I mean, I can just picture them all looking down through the roof going, what'd Jesus say? Huh? What's he doing? Well, there's an argument going on downstairs. You know, they're yelling at each other. Jesus said something to Bubba. Bubba's getting up, you know. And they go down the ladder and one of them falls, breaks his neck. Jesus goes out and helps him, but I'm just kidding. It didn't happen. But they walk around. I can picture him walking out with his mat and tossing it to the side, and there's just great celebration between their friends and Bubba, and they just kind of walked off in the sunset together. So, guys, let me ask you a question. I've got a family member. My dad's not a Christian, and I've spoken to my dad a few times about it, and literally he said, son, I believe I'm going to heaven because I don't drink and I pay my taxes. And I just looked at him and I went, oh, well, you're good. You know, but I didn't say it, but I was like, Dad, it's more than that. Is there a risk there to talk to my father? I believe so. I mean, it scares me to death to talk to my dad. And when David and I were talking about this talk and talking about this weekend, it was you could do so many things with this take it all. Because when you're talking to your friends, there are risks to be taken. I mean, you could lose your friends. They could look at you weirder. I mean, there's risks. But the great thing about this story is they knew that if they get their friend at the foot of Jesus, that their buddy was going to be taken care of. And there's sometimes we as Christians, and I do this, I fall in this trap all the time, I feel like I have to save people. It's not true. All we have to do is present Jesus to people. And then it's up to Jesus and that person. We just do the work. We need to get our friends up on the roof. We need to get our friends, we need to dig holes. We need to lower them down. If the guys would have gotten at the door and they would have said, hey, we'll come back later, this would have never been in the Bible. My challenge to you is to take all your fears, all your reservations, your concerns with telling your friends about Jesus. It's not like you have to just shake them. I mean, just tell them. Because in my opinion, I used to be a youth minister back in 95, 96, down in Bay City, Texas, and I used to always eat with my kids at school. I loved doing that. But their friends knew who I was. When you're sitting at the table and you're eating with your friends and you're doing your thing, but then when somebody else comes and eats, their friends knew who I was. They knew I was a youth minister. So everybody would change just a little bit when I showed up. But everybody's who they are around you. And I tell this to everybody whenever I give this type of little talk. You guys have more power. You sixth graders all the way to junior high or senior high to 12th graders, y'all have more power and influence on your friends than Braun, myself, David, anybody could ever have because we're labeled. I'm telling you, after this weekend, and I hope it happens to every single one of y'all, Monday at school. Do y'all have school Monday? Okay, Tuesday. I hope the first time you sit down with your friends at the table, I hope they look at you and go, What did you do this weekend? Because there's the hole in the roof. There's the hole in the roof. You can tell them how much fun you've had. You can tell them everything that went on this weekend. And you can tell them, hey, we had a blast. And we did it at where? Church. Hey, you know what? You ought to come check it out with me. That's the first part of taking them to the house. I mean, and bring them back. Start talking to them. I'm not talking about hitting it, bam, doing the Roman road. Oh, Rome's here, 23. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, is that right? Anyway, yeah, it is. But guys, that's what I'm talking about. Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday, when your friends say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Tell them what you did. Because, I mean, all this is about you this weekend. We're all going to have fun. But do not forget your non-Christian friends. Do not forget your non-Christian parents. I mean, if it's just praying for them at this stage of the game, then be praying for them. But there's many stages here. There's bringing them to the house. There's getting them up on the top of the roof. There's digging the hole. There's lowering them down. And then that's basically when they got done lowering them down, that was it. That was the end of their responsibilities. Jesus took care of the rest. So I continue to pray for my father, and I have non-Christian friends that are still non-Christian friends. And the first time I gave this talk was actually to this youth group a long time ago, and I have this little thing right here, and there was four or five people to pray for, and one of them is Skee-Ball Girl. And that's all it says is Skee-Ball Girl, because I went to the Texas State Fair. Is that what it's still called? And I went to the Skee-Ball area, and I remember talking to her. She's real young, and I was like, well, how do you end up being at the Skee-Ball? And she was, like, really excited that she was doing Skee-Ball, because she was at the Tilt-A-Whirl for a while, and she moved her way up to the Skee-Ball. And I'm just sitting here going, this is very interesting, and because she saw herself moving up the corporate ladder of the, yeah, the state fair people. And so I talked about 15 minutes. I remember walking away, and somebody, one of our group that was with some people here at church, she goes, hey, I saw you talking to that girl. Did you tell her about Jesus? And I went, no. I didn't do it. And every time I see that Skee-Ball Girl, I don't know who she is. I don't know where she's at. That was 6-7 years ago. But I still pray for Skee-Ball Girl. Hopefully someday she'll be in heaven. And maybe I had a little result of that because I prayed for Skee-Ball Girl. So guys, I just want to challenge y'all. Don't forget your Christian friends. Those four guys did everything in their power just to get Jesus in front, or their friends in front of Jesus, and Jesus took care of the rest. Let me pray, and then we'll hand it back over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for this weekend and just the fun that it looks like everybody's having, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless this evening. But Lord, I just ask that in the midst of the fun, that even right now, you would bring names to our heads right now, Father, of our friends that do not know you. And Lord, I'd ask that you would give us opportunities, not scary ones, not any kind of a witnessing deal, unless, Father, they feel it. But Lord, I just ask that there would be little moments in the next couple of weeks where questions would be asked, even the fact of this weekend asking, what'd you do this weekend? To be able to tell them. Father, give them opportunities, invite them even to come here, Father, just to hear your word from this stage, Father, and just sing songs of praise. Lord, I thank you for these kids. I thank you for their excitement and their fun. And Lord, I just ask that you would challenge us all, and even myself again, to continue to lower my dad down through the roof and trust Christ in those decisions and everything, and stop taking that upon myself and putting pressure on myself. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.